This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNLive.com today.
From an undisclosed broadcasting location.
This is a test. For the next 60 seconds, this station will conduct a test of the emergency broadcast system.
America, here comes the relief from the pain. Unapologetically, this is Lock and Load with Bill Frady.
All right, hour number two. This is Lock and Load, and we're doing a little different thing today because of the way things are lining up. Joining us now, he's in Dallas, Texas right now, is writer Dean Weingarten. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Bill. I'm glad to be here.
Yes, sir. Let's talk about what you wrote about here lately, about the whole idea that a terrorist attack is going to happen wherever people are disarmed, which proved to be true.
Well, what I said was that we're finding out the militias are a good idea.
Okay. Tell me about this.
And that what we had is that militias were always essentially just the armed men, primarily, of a small community that were available and had weapons to defend the community from raids, particularly raids of other nations or tribes. And that's how they were developed, everything from defending against Viking raids, to defending against Muslim raids, in the New World, to defend against Indian tribe raids, to other colonists like Spain or France raids. And they were there and available so that when in need, they would defend their communities. And about 100 years ago, a little more, 120, when the progressives started taking over, they said, oh, the world's all changed. We got this big military, and we got these oceans to defend us. We've defeated the Indians. We don't need militias anymore. You don't need militias to defend against anybody because there's nobody you got to defend against. Well, it turns out that wasn't really a very good idea because we have plenty of people to defend against now. The oceans have shrunk so that getting across them is far easier than it was 100 years ago. We are importing millions of people whose intentions we don't really know across the southern border.
Right.
And we've created all kinds of small tribes inside the urban areas because we won't enforce the laws in a bunch of cities. And criminal gangs are finding out that it pays to commit crime. And when they run out of easy victims in their locale, they'll probably start looking other places. I think we see some of that happening already in Chicago, San Francisco, L.A. And Baltimore is already a terrible mess. So what we have done in the United States is we haven't disarmed our population. Now, in Israel, they disarmed their population. Now, they have an effective army. They have effective reservists, but they have very strict gun control for private ownership of arms. Consequently, they only have about roughly 1.5 firearms for every 100 people. And that's not good enough when you have the possibility of raids, such as happened from across the border in Gaza into Israel, where they killed roughly 1,200 people. From the raiders' point of view, it was a very successful raid. They wanted to kill a bunch of Jews, and they did so. And they found that the easiest pickings were at a peace rally where it was certain virtually no one would be armed. And a few armed men were able to kill hundreds. But if you have an armed society and a rudimentary militia, it doesn't take very much, a little bit of communication, a little bit of organization. They found that they could oppose these raiders very well. There's one kibbutz where one woman realized something different was happening, was able to open up their locked arms room, distribute the arms, and set up a defensive perimeter. And they acted very well, and they saved themselves and their kibbutz, and they accounted for quite a few raiders. But if people had been armed routinely, many, many more would have been saved. And what it shows us is that the world is degrading from where Pax Americana basically enforced the rule of law across the nations, and that is they weren't willing to create major wars because they weren't quite certain what the U.S. would do. Well, now, as leftists have taken over our government, and they say it's wrong to defend yourself because, after all these people are just victims, we should let them do what they want. And if that applies not only for international relations, it applies to internal relations as well. That's why we have these mass mobs descending on stores in the big cities. But when you get used to being able to steal stuff and not be prosecuted or punished, almost certainly it becomes a habit that's hard to break. And you move outward from there. And we can see that when you have an unarmed population, particularly where they mass in a group, it doesn't take much, and just one person can create mass casualties like they did at the Pulse nightclub, or a few, not very many, I think there were four, six, at the Bataclan concert hall massacre in France.
Right.
But just a few armed defenders will make an enormous difference. And so I think that this is telling everybody the message from this Gaza raid / massacre in Israel to the rest of the world is it could happen to you. Arm up and be ready. And especially in the United States, where we have the necessary arms and we've got a fair amount of trained people out there, and we have the organizations, a sheriff's department or possibly even a sympathetic police department, or all the trained military men who feed the population. I think we got about a couple percent of people who've been trained and in the military. All those serve as a base that can act as a organization. But you have to get the start of it set up. Now, in some emergencies, such as in hurricanes or tornadoes or floods or earthquakes, you're not facing generally much of an armed opposition. You're facing a bunch of opportunistic looters. And what we have then is that in the United States, the tradition of militias spontaneously organizing in a couple of days. And they work pretty well, and they stop looting pretty well. They defend people's property. But you need a little more than that if you're facing a raid by opposition forces.
Right.
Because the whole thing with a raid is that it happens very rapidly. So instead of having a day to organize, you only have a minute or two. And that's where the term Minuteman came from, is the colonist militias were trained that they could respond to enemy action within a minute. And so I would like to see, and I think we could get here, for small communities to organize something like that.
Hold up for me, if you will. I want to hear the rest of this, of course. This article, of course, is at amiland.com, published on the 16th of October. It is on the front page currently, along with 2,300 others that Dean would have. If you click on his name in the byline there, it'll take you to his archive. The biggest writer on the biggest website of its kind. That's what you're getting. And that's why it's important to have Dean here, because with the stuff that he's writing and getting out there, I bring it here to you. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
Lock and Load.
At Spikes Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real-world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spikes Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spikes Tactical, 100% American-made to the highest standard.
Garand Tactical Innovations is the ultimate one-stop shop for all your competition, law enforcement, and military needs. Home of the weapons of WIC. Now featuring the new Pit Viper. Terran is the one who trained the one, and he is Hollywood's go-to for taking the weapons and training to the next level. His legacy of championship wins spanning across decades is due to his uncompromising dedication to perfection. These innovations are now offered to you at TerranTactical.com.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my help today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Medicaid and CHIP offer free or low-cost health coverage for children and teens. Hospital and doctor visits, prescriptions, shots, and more are covered. That's peace of mind for parents if a child is sick or gets injured. And parents may now be eligible for Medicaid, too, even if they've applied in the past. Enrollment is always open. Visit InsureKidsNow.gov or call 1-877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discovery on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
And welcome back. I'm talking to Dean Weingarten. We're talking about the militia, about the importance of having something like this in place, which we seem to really have gotten away from that sort of community response, haven't we?
I think we have. I also think it's starting to come back in favor because people realize that the police are just not enough by themselves. We have roughly, you know, one police person for several hundred people. It's just not enough to contend with something similar to a raid where you have multiple lightly organized forces coming at you. The police are not organized as for a military type response.
Nope.
Now, they're pretty good at what they do, usually, and I think they could be the crux, the maybe the seed of an organization, and especially I think this would work well with sheriffs. And some sheriffs have done it. And you have things like, you know, citizen auxiliary sheriffs or deputy sheriffs. And we're seeing that happen in some places. When we've seen Antifa, or Antifa, however you pronounce it, announcing they're going to go someplace that where they're not welcome, you often see a bunch of armed citizens show up and say, not here, not in this small town, to coin a phrase that's used in a song.
Yep.
And we have most of what's necessary. We just need a little bit more communication and a little bit more organization. And I think it is happening. And what I think this raid in Israel, this horrific raid, which was designed to kill unarmed people. It wasn't designed to go after military targets. I mean, they took out some. But it's primarily designed to kill Jews. And, you know, they did a pretty good job of killing Jews because the raid is essentially religiously based. It's not based on economics. And so that's in Israel. Other places, economics may be more important, or we may have our own jihadis close by, or others for purposes that we may not necessarily think of as directly related, like an overseas opponent that wants to sow discord within the United States. We saw those multiple riots in cities all across the United States in 2020. So it can happen here, and it can happen again. And what I believe will happen is when the Supreme Court is looking at whether or not the AR-15 and standard capacity magazines are protected by the Second Amendment, this Gaza raid into Israel is going to be part of the argument in amicus briefs, and I think the Supreme Court will think about that and take it into account. Because the idea that the militia is obsolete was utterly shown to be false with the raid across the Gaza border into Israel. You absolutely needed a militia. And where they had even the rudimentary start of a militia, just a few people communicating together to protect the perimeter of a kibbutz, it was very effective.
Yep.
And for that matter, having armed citizens in Israel works pretty well. It's just they have this old socialist doctrine that the people should not be allowed to have arms. That Israel was formed as a socialist nation in 1948, and they passed a very strict, I would say rigid, gun control law in 1949. Now the trend, because socialism doesn't work very well, has been for Israel to become more and more free market. And I think they're trending in that direction. And of course, they're under serious threat. And I think this last raid is likely to help them realize that they need to loosen up on the gun control laws and that all Israelis who are capable should be armed. Because they're under constant threat.
Well,
so that's where I think we're going.
Yeah. What is the? Do we know what crime looks like in Israel besides? I know that in the Arab enclaves they
yeah.
have some more stuff
the
than in
actual crime rates are quite low.
Yeah.
You know, and we've seen the same thing in the U.S. by the way, when you have an external threat, people tend to pull together and crime goes down. it happened during World War II. Of course, part of what's happening, too, is that the young men who tend to commit crimes are finding their reason for violence in protecting the nation or the community rather than committing crimes. And so when you have a bunch of people, young men overseas fighting a war, there's not as many in that population available to commit crimes at home.
Right.
So it's part of that. But I think we see this is when people are, when they perceive a common threat, they're less likely to commit local crimes, and they focus more on the common outside threat. And Israel has a very low crime rate.
Right. I just, you know, I wonder, given what we know about Israel as far as they are, everybody serves in the military, if they're able to, physically able to.
Right.
And
so there's a couple of exemptions.
Yeah. And everybody seems to learn how to handle weapons, and I mean, there's a lot of things that have come out of Israel as far as armed self-defense. There's a lot of training, Krav Maga,
yeah,
a lot of other stuff. Everything's geared towards personal defense. I just don't understand why they have worse gun control than the Bronx.
They have a very strict gun control. It's probably no worse than Egypt or Lebanon or Syria or Jordan. I mean, all of those places have strict gun control.
Right.
And it's part of this mindset that has always existed when you have a very authoritarian government. You don't want to let the people be armed because they might be a threat. In Israel's case, I believe it was just part of the socialist mindset there. And the people who originally established Israel were not religious Jews. They were secular socialist Jews from Europe. And slowly, over the last 70 years, they're turning more and more toward becoming religious Jews, or somewhat religious, and more toward a free market system rather than a socialist system, because the socialist system doesn't work. And they operate in a world free market economy, and they have to compete, which they do very well. But they don't do it as a socialist. They do it as free market companies that are in Israel. So that's why we get these wonderful Israeli firearms that they sell to the world market in part. I mean, they're up there.
Hang on for me, Dean. Hang on for me. We'll pick this up on the other side. I'm talking to Dean Weingarten. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
Years, Aero Precision has paved the way as a leading manufacturer of American-made AR parts. Aero Precision caters to the rifle builder by engineering quality receivers, handguards, and other essential parts. Aero Precision's added enhancements create a smooth build process from start to finish for beginners and seasoned builders. Whether this is your first rifle or your 50th, Aero Precision offers everything you need to make a quality AR at an affordable price.
At Chambers Custom, we have one job. We strive to build the most obsessively reliable, accurate, and beautiful pistols for the discriminating gun owner. Fusing the ageless 1911 design with a 21st century approach to each part and component, Chambers Custom meticulously begins each pistol as a standalone project, creating a bespoke, handcrafted, peerless firearm. They integrate all of the internal, external, and intrinsic elements that make a custom 1911 unique. Go to ChambersCustom.com. Chambers Custom, truly the mechanical advantage.
USA News Update. As of now, the position of Speaker of the House remains vacant.
The Honorable Jim Jordan of the state of Ohio has received 200 votes. The Honorable Hakeem Jeffries of the state of New York has received 212. The Speaker has not been elected.
Although Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan has emerged as the leading Republican candidate, he was unable to secure victory in the initial vote. It's possible a second vote may occur in the future. According to a Palestinian official, an Israeli airstrike on a Gaza hospital resulted in hundreds of casualties. The attack occurred Tuesday night amid the ongoing conflict between Israel and Hamas. Israel has stated they do not target hospitals. Former President Trump back in a New York courtroom today for a civil fraud trial. Upon arriving at the courthouse, he once again criticized New York Attorney General Letitia James, labeling her as a radical lunatic and denouncing the trial as rigged. John Schaefer, USA News.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past 2 years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110. Guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. That's 800-430-1891.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Welcome back. This is Lock and Load, and we are speaking with Dean Weingarten. We've been talking about this whole thing about the militia and all the other stuff, and what we learned, or what we think we've learned, what we've gleaned from what happened at Israel. Now, do you remember when the Hurricane Sandy came in?
Yeah.
And you remember in New Jersey, they were like posting signs at the entrance of their like cul-de-sacs or their little housing developments where they were saying, "We're armed here. Don't come and try to raid us."
Yes, and I've seen it in Florida numerous times, and Georgia, I believe. And we've seen a considerable difference when the hurricane, I suppose, the Hugo that came through and hit. New Orleans, I guess I should call it. And, you know, they had all the problems there, and they went around collecting guns from people. Well, just one state over, we had people spontaneously forming militias and keeping looting from happening, and you didn't have that stuff.
Right.
It's, like I said, there's a tradition in the United States that if you get an emergency where the authorities can't handle it, people organize themselves and step up to the plate and do what's necessary.
Probably right. So,
and in Israel, they're under threat so much, so often. I think it borders on the weird that they don't have a system like that for all the local communities, especially any of those close to the border,
right?
That Israelis would be going around unarmed, just as targets, seems rather silly.
Well, in terms now, when we think about what's going on here, right? Now, I know when you travel, what do you carry with you when you travel, as far as weapons?
I'm not sure I want to say all that, but I usually carry a couple of pistols and probably a rifle.
Okay, well.
And a couple knives. You know, I always like to have a knife on me.
I understand. So now here lately, since all of this started, whenever, if I go to the grocery store, I'm taking a rifle with me. Now I can't carry it into the grocery store, but I, you know, I'll have my pistol on me. And, because I believe, Dean, that given what we have seen coming out of Hamas and all of the, I mean, did you see what happened in London? Did you see how many people were protesting in London in support of this?
I didn't see the London protests, but I saw them in other places, and I'm going, this is absurd.
Yeah.
You know, we're celebrating the death of women and children, unarmed people, that they're just killed because somebody hates them. I mean, it's absurd. And if you listen, and I think we should listen to other people when they say they hate us and they want to kill us.
Right.
We shouldn't assume that they don't mean it. They usually don't make statements like that unless they mean it.
Yep.
And if somebody tells you, I hate you and I want to kill you, you shouldn't be treating him as somebody who gets welfare and is worth, that you send billions of dollars to. I mean, it's absurd. I think the Obama administration and the Biden administration are acting the same way.
Right.
Well, those people don't really mean that they want to kill all Americans. Yes, they do. That's what they want to do. You know, take them at their word. When they say death to America, they mean death to America.
Indeed. Indeed, they do. So, yeah.
So we're entering a dangerous period. We've been in it for a while.
Well, I mean,
we're going back to where you have to be worried about hostile organizations raiding your community
from within.
From within, or even imported over the border.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're right there on the cusp of
southern
right?
border.
Yeah.
Yeah. It appears that most of the people crossing don't stay near the border. They go towards urban areas. That's what I primarily see.
Right.
It doesn't mean we couldn't be a target. I mean, you had that Pancho Villa raid into Columbus, New Mexico, I think it was about 1912, 14, somewhere around there, 13, I'm trying to remember.
Right.
And then we had the punitive expedition go into Mexico with General Pershing. But that's the last time I think we had a raid like that. Now, of course, we had 9/11. 9/11 was essentially a suicide-level raid, and they killed thousands of Americans.
Right.
So we shouldn't be saying, well, they just don't like us because we're not nice or something. No, they hate us, and they want to kill us. It's a big difference in mindset.
Indeed. Indeed it is. And so, I mean, to that end, I mean, I'm advocating. And, you know, this is one thing I'll point out. Right now, if you're going to, if you're looking at this and it's making you nervous and you're thinking, I'm not ready for this. I don't have the weapons for this. I don't have anything to defend myself with this. This is the perfect time to go buy an AR-15 because right now that market has cratered.
They're cheap right now.
And handguns they haven't gone up in price that much.
No, they haven't. And you can still get ammunition.
Yep.
I mean, I've seen the price of ammunition come down significantly. I expect it's going to start, people are going to realize, and October is going to be a banner month for sale.
Yeah.
So I think it's a good time to buy now before it all hits.
Yep.
You know, because right now there is an oversupply. I don't think it'll last that long. So, now I have a fair amount myself.
Right.
But I'm thinking about getting some like standard velocity 22 that I want for writing and such, and because I don't think it's going to stay at this relatively low prices. And the other thing that's hitting is inflation. And, you know, 50 rounds of 22 is still 50 rounds of 22 if the dollar inflates, you know, twice what it should be.
Right.
You still have 50 rounds of 22.
Right.
If you buy it now, it's going to be worth whatever 50 rounds of 22 is worth 2 years from now.
Right.
Even if that's $5, $10, we just don't know. So we know that ammunition keeps extraordinarily well. If you store it in a relatively cool and dry place,
right,
It'll keep for decades.
Decades.
So that's longer than I'm going to be around. You know, probably have to find somebody who wants it.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, let them worry about
it. Yeah. But it's also good trading material. If things get really bad,
yeah,
you know, 22 ammo is a very good trading material in any of the common rounds. And you might even say that the rare cartridges will become valuable if you find somebody who needs them, because they might be real hard to come by.
Possibly. Yeah, I just don't know. That part of
it. Yeah, well, that's a little harder to predict.
Yeah, it is. It is. So that part of it, I don't know. But, you know, at the same time, I'm not that concerned over not knowing about it, because my two primary, I mean, Archer, two primary calibers, 9mm and 5.56.
And 22.
And 22, yeah.
Yeah. Those are primary most of what I've got stored.
Gotcha.
And somebody on a discussion group I was on said, yeah, all you people are worried about 223s, and the next war is going to be decided by 22 rimfire from Marlins and Ruger 10-22, because we got millions and millions from out there. But the fact is, we have about 25 million AR-15 types, too.
Yeah.
And people who have an AR-15 don't usually just buy one or two boxes of ammo. They buy a case or two.
Okay. Well.
And that will work.
Coming up on the next break, and when we get back, continue our conversation with Dean Weingarten as we are talking about the militia and what you can and cannot do, what you maybe should and should not be doing, and go from there. And you can find this article at Ammoland.com, where he's got 2,300 others just as poignant. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hard-working people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get cloudy. So let's make it clear.
Vaping is not safe for kids, teens, or young adults. It's just not.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals and volatile organic compounds into your body.
And nicotine, the same highly addictive substance found in regular cigarettes.
Nicotine can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
Affecting learning, memory, attention, and impulse control. And priming the brain for other addictions.
Vaping products also come in kid-friendly flavors that can make them appealing to youth.
And many kids also use other drugs, like marijuana, in vaping devices.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media,
many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping, because when you talk, they hear you.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
All right, welcome back, and we're talking to Dean Weingarten, and we're going to switch from militias to bears that have been, somebody's had taken a piece of wood. I guess this just proves bears are really unpredictable.
Well, what we find is that, we didn't have firearms until roughly 1400. And even the early firearms were not very effective in defense against animal attack because they were matchlocks, or you had to have a hot piece of metal to set them off. So usually an animal is not just going to wait around while you take 3 or 4 seconds to figure out the best way to set off this firearm. I mean, a matchlock, you have to have a burning match. And, I mean, they were, for their time, an effective military tool. And in the correct circumstances, they can also be used in hunting. I remember seeing a picture when somebody was talking about Tibet. And I had the Tibetan hunter with about 3 or 4 hunting dogs, and they had a leopard up against a cliff. And the leopard was facing the dogs off, and the hunter had a matchlock firearm on a monopod, aiming very carefully at this leopard as it was holding still, getting ready to touch off his matchlock so that he could shoot the leopard with it. But those are very limited circumstances. So when we developed flintlocks and then later on percussion arms and now cartridge arms, most of the time when we defend against bears, we use firearms. But before that, we used edged weapons. And spears were the weapon of choice to defend against bears before we had firearms. Even more so, I think, than bows and arrows. I mean, bows and arrows, you can kill a bear with bow and arrow, but it takes a while. And even if you deliver a mortal blow with a bow, that bear can still get at you. The bow doesn't prevent him from getting at you. And bows just don't penetrate through skulls good enough for headshots to be reliably deadly on something like a bear. The only, the really effective killing shots with bows is into the heart and lungs through the rib cage, and that's not always easily available. So what humans did to defend against bears and hunt bears was they used spears. Now, spears don't have as much range as bow, but they can prevent the animal from getting at you. You know, when you've got a big, sharp blade in between you and what's trying to get at you, it deters attacks. And if you get that blade into the chest cavity, the bear is going to die. It's just a question about how quickly it's going to happen. Now, what hunters who use spears against bears primarily did was they used dogs, packs of dogs, and a couple hunters or more with spears. And sometimes they would ride horses as well to try to keep up with the dogs. But when the dogs would corner a bear, then the bear would be distracted enough by the dog that they could shove the spear into him and kill him. Sometimes it took more than one spear. But it was pretty effective. And you don't lose very many people that way. Now, you lose a few dogs. When bears are hunted by dogs, it's not uncommon for the bear to be able to catch one or two dogs and do significant damage or kill them. It doesn't happen all the time. But it's much rarer for the bear to inflict injury on a person if they're using a standoff weapon like a spear. Of course, people use guns and other things too. But what we saw from some shipwrecked Russians on Svalbard Island, they were able to make two spears, and they, between them, there were four of them, but only three of them were really healthy enough. With two of them armed with spears, they killed 10 polar bears over 6 years.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, and these were not the best spears, but they were pretty good. They found some big spikes, more like railroad spikes probably than anything else, and they were able to manage to figure a way to hammer them into shape to make spearheads, and they killed 10 polar bears in 6 years. And then we have enough. So if I have to choose an edged weapon to defend against bears, a spear would be my choice. Now, there have also been a number of cases where humans use hatchets or axes,
right,
to defend against bears. I mean, these are not that long ago. In the last decade, we have three. There was a Bosnian shepherd. He used an axe to kill an attacking brown bear. And the brown bear in Europe is basically our grizzly bear, maybe just a little smaller, but it's basically a grizzly bear. And then in Romania, he used an axe to kill this European brown bear, again, a grizzly bear, who was attacking his wife in 2018. And then we had a Canadian, and people may have seen his article. It's around. He's a forestry person. Anyhow, his father had gifted him with a hatchet. It was a good-sized hatchet, one of the small hatchet. And he carried that around with him in the woods. Didn't have a gun. It's Canada. Theoretically, he could have got a permit for a gun, I think, in Canada, because he was a professional in the woods. But a black bear came at him, and he was able to kill that black bear with a hatchet in 2019. Now, we're going kind of down the list. Now, spear gives you plenty of standoff distance. You know, the spear that I've got, it's in the picture at Amalan, is 7 foot long. And it's called a boar spear, and it's big, and it's tough, and it's adequate. It's the type of thing you would want for dangerous game. Well, a hatchet or an axe, you know, they might be 2.5, 3 feet long, or even 1.5 feet. That's getting a lot closer. you know, you don't want to be getting that close. But then we go down to knives, which most knives are not much over 1 foot long. A lot of them are only a few inches. But it turns out even relatively small knives are better than your bare hands. And there are a couple of different cases where people have killed bears or successfully fought them off with pocket knives. We had one in Alaska near the pipeline, where a fellow was attacked by a bear, and he had a little pocket knife. I think it only had about a 3-inch blade. But he successfully damaged and hurt the bear enough that it wandered away from him instead of just finishing him off, and he was able to get help, and he survived. And then in a book called Bear Attacks the Deadly Truth, there's an account of a hunter who killed a grizzly bear with a sheath knife. It fell out on the ground as he was being, you know, attacked, and he was able to grab it and started stabbing the bear and eventually killed it. He was, again, severely mauled. But we also have an incident that happened in Florida. Now, this is not covered in a news item. It was in a discussion group, but it has a ring of truth to it. And what we happened is this person, this fellow Gary Carroll, was barbecuing. And he sees this bear eyeing him very possessively. He tries to, shoo it off, and it's not having any of that. Well, he has a steak knife on the barbecue. Not a super heavy, big one, but, a relatively cheap steak knife. He's trying to get the bear to leave, and so he grabs that steak knife by the pointy end, and he says he didn't know anything about throwing knives. And he said this was definitely not designed as a throwing knife. And he tries to throw it as he thinks you should throw it, as hard as he could at the bear. But he says it wasn't very accurate. He says it was aiming for the bear's butt, and it hit him right on the snout. And it hit it hard, and it stuck. So he threw it as hard as he could. He says, throwing hard doesn't seem to make you more accurate.
Yeah.
And the bear ran off.
Makes you less accurate. Anyway. We're about to run out of time, Dean. Are you going to be back in where we can talk one more time this week?
Yeah, I believe so. I believe I will.
Okay. Good enough for me. I want to thank you for joining me today. You can find you can find 2,300 plus other articles by Dean Weingarten at Ammoland.com, the biggest website of its kind on the planet today. And he's the biggest writer there. And he writes about the most stuff. Thank you for joining me today, sir.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure.
Yeah. Always for me as well. Coming up next is going to be Paul Markle, student of the gun. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load. At MGS, we have what it takes to reinvent yourself. With a curriculum designed to balance work, family, and a gun repair education, MGS provides the gateway into one of the fastest-growing segments of the gun industry. Modern Gun School's mission is to provide high-quality distance education using time-tested materials and hands-on projects designed to develop a proficiency in both the technique and the business of gunsmithing. Go to mgs.edu. MGS Trade School. Your future is waiting.
Holster.com, the home of DeSantis quality-built American-made products for 45-plus years. Supporting police and government contracts from first responders to responsible citizens. Holster.com is your source for quality American-made leather and kydex holsters for the armed American. For concealed carry or open carry, Holster.com has what you need.
We didn't invent concealment.
We perfected it. Go to Holster.com now and buy a DeSantis holster today.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pounty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.